Hey, everyone. Welcome again to a 2 Corinthians audio devotional panel. And today we are joined, I'm Steve Durr, and we're joined with
Stevie Blue Skies Thompson
and
Erica Mariglia.
Erica.
Hey, Erica.
Welcome. So today we're talking about 2 Corinthians, and we're looking at chapter 11, starting verse 7 and going through 12, I think verse 10 or so from this past week's devotionals. And in it comes up the idea of Paul saying he had a thorn given to him. And in the midst of that, there's been a lot of speculation of what that is, and we'll be hitting that or talking about that this Sunday. So when
wasn't
we talk about
Guns
N'
Roses that said every rose has its thorn?
No, that's Poison.
Poison. It should have been Guns N' Roses.
That's awesome.
I don't know my rock and roll.
It should have been, really. If you think about it, Guns N' Roses should have been about the thorn.
It should have been.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I see that.
So, like, just having a little fun, what, you know, thinking about what would be your thorn in your side? What would be the thing that you'd go, there's the thing that keeps me humble?
Well, I don't think they want me to name their names right here on the podcast.
Oh, you have people in mind.
You didn't
particular
go there?
People.
You didn't go to people? I've got so many thorns in my life. Just teasing.
You can visualize them.
Yes, they're in my family photo. There's thorn one and thorn two, like thing one and thing two.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and because they're not listening, we can name them.
Yeah, just so you would say maybe just having a little fun with it. Like,
totally, I'm joking. Yeah, yeah. I love my family dearly.
Yes, okay.
How about and all you, the people
Erica?
Around me.
Anything you'd go, man, there's my thorn right there.
Am I being serious or am I joking?
You can joke right now. We'll get into
nachos. Let's go with nachos.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that is a thorn.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see, for me, that's a blessing.
Yeah, I know, right?
It's about how much.
Yeah, probably.
How high do you pile it on? I think it is a thorn from the standpoint of every time I eat nachos, I get it on my shirt.
Yeah.
Oh, there you
and
go.
And that keeps me humble.
Every shirt I own has grease stains on it.
So. Totally, mm-hmm. Totally.
We
yeah,
totally.
Yeah, Cadbury
guys some
eggs
bibs.
For me.
Cadbury eggs. Probably.
Yes. Well, let's talk about this passage here. And starting in verse 7 of 2 Corinthians 11, he's starting to talk about these super apostles, as he kind of calls them, or false apostles, these leaders who showed up in Corinth and were creating a racket with their viewpoints, what they were teaching, how they were treating people, how they were talking about Paul. And these kind of false apostles were creating a lot of tension and trouble in the church. And so that's where it begins. And so anything from these passages that we read this past week that kind of caught your attention and hit you kind of where you're at today?
I'm going to give a preamble because we already know where Erica is going to go with this in just a second, which I love.
Is it about nachos?
It's, unfortunately, no.
Recipes for guacamole.
Ooh,
love
that would
guac.
Be great. That's good.
But as Erica shared her experience with this very kind of a thing, it actually recast then the original audience in the original setting to realize that these guys or people who are coming in, these super apostles or whatever, they might not have been just shysters out to make a buck or out to gain an audience, but they may have been 100% convinced that they were doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. But Paul is just seeing it way differently and having to say, no, they're actually not. And they're not even actually talking about the same Jesus, even though they're talking about Jesus. So anyways, that's interesting. Maybe that's a little preamble to what you're about to talk about.
Hey, I'll take it. I find with my ministry that I work in, which if you're not familiar, jail ministry, Reach the Forgotten Jail
Reach
Ministry.
Reach the Forgotten.
We are a multi-denominational ministry, so that brings its own challenges sometimes, right? With just different viewpoints and beliefs that people are coming in with. And so I find myself thinking about this a lot and just wondering what's right, what's not right, where's the gray area, and all of that. But one example that I had mentioned just a few minutes ago that our ministry is currently experiencing relates to some of this, as we have a county that we just had to walk away from. And out of 66 years of being in ministry, we've never walked away from doing ministry in a county. We've been asked to in a couple of counties.
Which that means then you no longer have a presence in that county jail, right?
Yep. Which, you know, we're in over 30 Michigan County jails where we provide chaplaincy and biblically based classes and recovery classes and all of that, and then connections to the community as they're reentering society.
And from my understanding, if I could interject a little bit, Cal, who's our local Ottawa County,
yep.
chaplain, he likes to keep things centered on Jesus mm-hmm. and to not get too deep in the weeds on maybe denominational distinctives or mm-hmm. or theological distinctives, as long as we're bringing yeah. it back to Jesus
absolutely.
As a whole. So yep. that would probably reach the forgotten's kind of stance.
Yeah, yeah. And this is the heartbeat of who we are. But we run in, I don't know, it depends how familiar people are with the ministry world, but it can be a very hard place to work, right? When we're wrestling with just different beliefs and experiences. And this is my latest experience that we've had, this county that we had to walk away from, saying we're no longer going to provide ministry here. And this is why. It had to do with some of what's being discussed in this passage. But the county was one we've been in for over 40 years. So there's been a lot of investment, time, energy, money that has gone into providing services for people that we truly care about. You know, inmates who are, we care about the inmates. We care about their families. We care about their community. And a while back, we had some disagreements with a chaplain that we ended up having to part ways with. And it had to do with just his theological and doctrinal bend on some of this stuff, right? Just wasn't keeping it central to what Thompson is mentioning here, Jesus-centric, right? And so about a year ago, we parted ways, and then he went out into the community and just started to kind of bring people alongside him. And because we work so closely with sheriffs who are a political figure in their community, there was this uprise of people going to the sheriff, and being that this is an election year, the sheriff came back to us and said, I'm really in a pickle here. Like, I don't want to part ways with you guys, but I'm going to ask you guys to work alongside this guy who's now starting his own ministry. And we really wrestled with it, had various meetings, but then it came down to volunteers reaching out to us, talking about the concerns that they had and all of this, and us wrestling with, like, can we play well together in what feels like contention and having somebody badmouth us.
Kind of undermining what yeah. you're doing, yeah.
And just, you know, going into this ministry now and into the jail where inmates are being impacted and they're wondering, you know, are you the red team, which is Reach the Forgotten, or the blue team, which is this one? And like them just feeling confusion and all of it coming down to, it's hard for me to say false prophet, you know, that's probably not something I should say. But at the same time, Paul is recognizing, and I think he's really wrestling with this idea of, we're supposed to be looking for fruit of the Spirit when we're doing ministry and in the people that we're following and the people that we're giving this platform. And that's something that we've had to notice and say, I don't know, things look a little hairy here and it might just be time for us to part ways. And there's been a lot of grief in that,
yeah,
but that's kind of what came up for me as I was reading this.
Yeah. So your first impulse would be, okay, we're all believers here. Mm-hmm. We should be able to get along. Let's go for unity because mm-hmm. that's what Jesus values. But like Paul is having probably to do the same thing because now there's division happening because yeah. we're being cast in an us, them, and they're throwing bombs at Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like, and similarly, this person who is now left is throwing bombs at Reach mm-hmm. the Forgotten. And so you're trying to weigh out, Jesus, are you leading us into unity here? Or
yeah.
do we have to part ways because the prisoners are the ones now caught in the middle
mm-hmm.
and they're stuck feeling like they have to choose sides
mm-hmm.
instead of being drawn toward Jesus.
Yeah.
So it's very similar situation.
Yeah. I think about that comment. Are you the red team or the blue team? It's like you have to pick one or the other. And like, this is like gang language. You know what I mean?
Oh.
Like if you want to take it really deep and all
right.
of a sudden, but we're ministers of the gospel and you are trying to identify us with the very ways that we're trying to show you, like, there might be a different way of life, but now we're being classified as red or blue and just really ugly when the Christian ministry world turns this way.
And ultimately, again, Jesus gets the black eye.
Right. And it's all in the name of Jesus, which is just so painful.
So in this situation, you know, I'd imagine Paul also called out these different people sharing what they were sharing and challenging them and definitely inviting the church to be reconciled back together. I'm sure in your situation, this wasn't like this person all of a sudden like found out, oh, I can't be a part of this ministry anymore. Reach the Forgotten. Mm-hmm. I got to start my own.
Mm-hmm.
You probably had a process of saying, hey,
sure.
here's the issue.
Yeah.
And then there was no good response, I take
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there wasn't a good response. And that is, I think it's a challenge. Like what does real unity look like? You know, is it a unity that's just playing along and being polite to each other even though you have a very different vision or mission or way of doing things? Or is it a unity of purpose and around Jesus and the way you live together? That's always a confusing, difficult thing. Like, how do you know when to part ways and go a new direction? Or, you know, obviously you're trying to fight for that unity, but what does that unity actually look like? Is it that reconciliation, or is it just pretending there's not a problem?
Right.
Right. Peace faking, you know, instead of peacemaking. So you guys made the difficult decision to say, hey, listen, if this is the direction that that county wants to go, we just can't be alongside that in this, in this season.
Yeah. And it doesn't mean we've burned no bridges. Yeah. We've continued to pray for the sheriff's administration and the inmates. And, you know, the second they ask us to serve again, should something go awry, we're all in. You know, our heart posture, I think we've worked really hard to maintain, like, as best as we can. It hasn't gone perfectly, but a Christ-like posture towards, like, where God's guiding us, and have been prayerful and discerning and have no ill will towards this county. It's just, you know, this is, I think, what Paul is referring to, is just the ugliness of some of this work and knowing when to fight for justice and what you also believe is right, or when you feel like the Holy Spirit is saying, you know, it's time to let go for a little while.
Yeah.
And, like, let's reevaluate down the road maybe. And that's kind of, like, where I feel like where we're at.
Yeah, that's good. Thanks for sharing that personal story that really fits this well. Tom, why don't you wrap us up in the purpose and importance of posture when it comes to leading and the way we live life and who we follow?
Right. And I think Jesus modeled this. It is important to know, understand, and obey the teachings of Jesus. So there does have to be clarity around that, and hopefully one voice in the Christian church. But Jesus was very insistent that it's not just the what's of what he taught, but the way in which he ministered. And so that's where Erica's mentioning the fruit check, really, where we're checking for the fruit of the Spirit, because that lets us know that not only do we know what Jesus taught, but we're allowing Jesus to actually reside in us and live through us. And so when that is off, we want to make every attempt to reconcile. But if that's not possible, then oftentimes we just have to make that tough call to say, look, we're going to have to distance for a while. But if you don't mind, I would actually love to pray into this.
Let's do that.
You're good with it?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. Well, Father God, I bring this very situation of Reach the Forgotten in this one particular county to you. You know the situation intimately. Nothing is a secret. You've been at work in this situation, and still you're currently working in this. And so, Lord God, I would pray, first and foremost, the first thing I feel like to get it out of the way is just, Satan, take your hands off from this. Obviously, your strategy is to create division and disruption and to discredit Jesus and all of this. So in Jesus' name and authority, we say, go away and take your agenda and submit to Jesus. And then, Holy Spirit, would you continue to work through both parties to bring soft hearts and fertile ground so that they might see you and hear from you clearly and be willing to do whatever it takes to follow you into that, be it however painful that is. I think of Paul and all the pains that he experienced following you. God, may they be willing to follow you wherever that next step of obedience is so that you could get glory in this situation. And then, Lord, for the prisoners who are torn, who are seeing not very Jesus-like behavior, Lord God, we pray that they would somehow still see you and hear you in the middle of this and experience your life transforming presence and power in their lives. And Father, I would even ask that you would raise up people who are in jails to, having experienced you, being the prophetic voice that unifies this situation. Just, I would ask that that would be an amazing thing that brings glory to you. And then, Lord, because this is so common right now across our country, Lord, we just pray this as a blanket prayer over churches, over ministries, over your body, that you would again center us on you and bring healing and wholeness, even though it may point out some things, some weaknesses or some blind spots or some hardships. Give us the braveness, the courage to follow you into that hard so that your kingdom could come, your will would be done here on earth as it is in heaven. So we ask this all in your name. Amen.
Amen. Let's get some nachos.
Yes.